You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, last week, Dorset Blind Association opened their brand new charity shop, and their CEO, Jonathan Holyhead, is joining me now to tell us all about the launch of the new shop and about the great work that the charity do all year round. Jonathan, thank you very much for joining us. So, for anybody who's not come across Dorset Blind Association before, what kind of services do you offer for local people?
Dorset Blind Association, we are what we say on the tin. We're the county charity for people who are visually impaired, and we do genuinely, literally reach across the entire county. We've set ourselves up over the last 15 years or so now as being a charity that focuses almost entirely on reaching out into the community. We take our services predominantly to people to make them as accessible as possible. And our big global aim is to provide a range of practical and emotional help and support services which help people adjust to living with serious sight loss, and then to still lead, as best they can, full, healthy and socially active lives, lived as independently as they would wish in their local community.
And you talk about taking services to the community. I mean, what was that like through lockdown? That must have been really tricky. And what's it been like being able to get out and give that support sort of in person and face to face over the last year or so?
Yeah, I mean, there have certainly been challenges. That, you know, would be wrong to say there haven't been. But I think as a starting point, we were very well placed to deal with the lockdown because we had set ourselves up as a community-based charity. And part of that included having our key community support worker staff actually always working from home. So actually home working for most of our staff was not something new, not something they had to suddenly adjust to. The reason we had always been doing that was that we wanted those staff to be strategically placed around the county, so that they were already part of the local community. They knew people, they knew the places, they knew the other groups to link into. And also they didn't have vast amounts of travelling time when they were going to see clients in their own home, which was a huge part of what it is we did. Yes, obviously during lockdown we had to restrict a great deal of the home visiting. We still did do some home visiting where it was absolutely necessary and where we judged that that was what a client really did need. But it was done very carefully and with all sorts of social distancing and other safety protocols in place. Since lockdowns have been lifted, we have found that we have moved into a model of working which has taken, hopefully, the best of what we used to do, which is the home visiting, but taking on board some of what we learned during lockdown, which was that there were some aspects of work we could do just as well by phone, by Zoom, other remote methods of contact. But our staff are back out in the field. They are visiting people where that is necessary and the most useful thing for people. And we do it gladly and happily and enjoy that contact.
So as a charity, a lot of the services you're able to provide are funded through things like donations and fundraising, which is where the charity shops come in. How important are these shops to keeping Dorset Blind Association going? Because I know you've got a few.
Yeah, we have. The one we opened most recently in Weymouth, as you said at the beginning, just a week or so ago now, is the sixth shop that we've got. We've had a very interesting journey with charity shops. Although Dorset Blind Association itself is now over 100 years old, we trace our roots back to 1918, we actually only opened the first charity shop 5 years ago. And it was driven very much and unashamedly by recognising that that was a route that we could go down to try and fund some of our community support services. Like a lot of other charities up until that point, we'd relied very heavily upon a combination of traditional community fundraising, grants and trusts from, you know, grant-making trusts, national lottery funding, legacies where we could get them. And we wanted to try and build something that we felt could be a little more sustainable. But we also looked at introducing our charity shops in a way where they could be a part of our service delivery model as well. So in terms of their importance to our fundraising and the funding of our services, they have grown in importance since we opened shop number one to now having shop number six. And in a very approximate terms, if I looked at, say, the budget that we have for running the charity and providing absolutely everything we do for the financial year ahead, we're now at the stage where the shops are providing about 60% of the operating income. I said already that we wanted the shops to be part of our service delivery model. So each of the shops has access to our equipment service. Depending on the size of the shop, they have a smaller or greater range of equipment on display, and they can be used to make appointments for our mobile equipment service to visit people in their homes. They are used as an access point to our community support services. And we've worked very, very hard to make sure that the shops genuinely feel a part of what we do. And I say that by reference to, for example, if you look at a lot of the big national charity shop chains, they do a fantastic job. That's my starting point. But I know from talking to some of their staff that the staff often feel disconnected from what the charity is actually about. They see their role purely as generating income, really nothing more. They're a number on the map. We've trained our staff to be a proper part within the charity shops of what the charity is about. They feel an active part of what we do. They are ambassadors for us. They are our face, our view on the high street. And now for an increasing number of people, they are the first point of contact that a lot of people have them with the charity who might want or need to go on to use us for services as well.
It's a great way of doing it as well, because you'll probably reach people that you might not have done otherwise because you're on the high street and you're out there in the community.
Yeah, no, definitely, Ellie. And I think that was part of our thinking. When I took over at Dorset Blind Association, probably more years ago now than I care to remember, the charity, I think, had a failing. I'm happy to admit it, that it sort of sat in an office and wanted people to come to it largely. We turned that completely on its head and took everything out into the community. And then we came to realize that actually somewhere between the two was perhaps the perfect place to try and be. So we now have, through the charity shop, so if you like, a range of mini hubs for the charity in the community that people can access on the high street.
Where can we find out more about Dorset Blind Association online if we want to find out more about the work that you do?
Yeah, easiest starting point is the website, dorsetblind.org.uk. And we've got Facebook pages and other social media which you can tap into, and that keeps you up to date with news as well.
Great stuff. Jonathan Holyhead, CEO of the Dorset Blind Association, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.